magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to Touch Arcade Show. This is episode number 377, recording on Friday, November 16th, 2018. A week out from Black Friday. Although it seems like most of the Black Friday deals already are a thing.
It's lost all meaning. It's like Black Friday starts whenever anyone wants. Who cares?
Yeah, like, well, I got the thing from Costco for their Black Friday deals. It's just like November sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stuff, but there's some stuff going on next week that I'm interested in buying. The Newegg's sale starts on Monday. Need some junk for my computer. Both PSN and Xbox Live have their game libraries on sale, which is annoying because, like, more than a few games I've recently bought for my Xbox are now like 30% off.
Yeah.
Which I guess, and I really like broke like the number one rule of game buying, and that like if you're not going to play the game immediately, like don't buy it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
It's so hard not to sometimes. But yeah.
Well, that links into our first story. But if this is the first time you've downloaded the Touch Arcade Show, thanks so much for trying us out. We are a weekly mobile game podcast that also kind of dabbles in just general kind of gaming industry news and other gaming industry / mobile industry gaming drama. Like the previous 2 weeks, talked a lot about the reaction to Diablo Immortal. Check out toucharcade.com for all the news and everything else we post throughout the week. This podcast is kind of a recap of you know, the stories we posted, what we think about them, and other things like that. We are sponsored by Coors Light. Nothing beats the crisp, clean, cold taste of Coors Light.
None for me this week because I'm fighting off a cold, but I have my hot lingonberry tea.
Coors
right here.
Light, tap the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
The Frost Blue.
I wish we got paid every time we said that.
Frost Brew Line can. What other features does Coors Light have? It's a very featureful beer.
It's the world's most refreshing beer, and it's the Silver Bullet, and wide mouth can for easy drinking.
I was before we started recording, before you connected to Skype, I was looking for like actual real deal Coors Light ad copy, but like couldn't really find any beyond like slogans.
Just start reading Coors Light ads,
yeah,
for real, but not even get paid for it.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, it's kind of like the end of the week wrap up. We kick back, drink some beers. Usually Jared's kind of sick, so he's not partaking, but have a good time. So thanks a ton for joining us. Anyway, to link back into my talk about Xbox stuff, the reason I bought a few games is that I recently picked up the Xbox One X, whichever one does 4K.
Mm-hmm.
And like, man, 4K games are big, like like 50 gigs plus,
right,
for most of them, and like they take so freaking long to download. That I was just like, well, screw it. Like, I'm just going to get like a few games I'm interested in and just like let them go overnight and through the next day. And I'll play like tomorrow evening. And of course, only played one of those.
Yeah.
So whatever. But anyway, so this week kicked off with Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass app launching in both iOS and Android. So if you are unfamiliar with Game Pass, it's actually a really cool thing that Microsoft's doing on the Xbox, and there's a tiny bit of crossover on PC. So you basically pay $10 a month, although you know, as you mentioned in the article, it's on sale for $1 like all the time. Like basically all Microsoft wants you to do is sign up and, you know, eventually pay them $10 at some point in the future when the promos run out, which so far has not happened. It seems like if you're patient and really only sign up like a month at a time, it seems like you can get this for less than $10 basically for eternity, it seems like. But anyway, if you get Game Pass, you get, I don't remember how many games there are. I want to say like maybe close to 100 games, something like that. The interesting thing is that all of the Microsoft first party games are on Game Pass. So it's like Forza and the Halo games and some other things I'm forgetting. Are you gonna die? Well, Jared's
I
dying.
might die. I muted all my coughing,
No,
but
you didn't.
I did. Sorry.
So yeah, like the Halo games, Forza, Sea of Thieves is on Game Pass and a bunch of stuff. And I think Sea of Thieves is the only one that's cross-platform with PC. So like if you're a Game Pass subscriber and you're logged in on your Microsoft account on your PC, you can also play Sea of Thieves. I'm sure there's other games, but that's the only one that I've ever actually fiddled with. So it seems pretty cool for $10 a month. I mean, for me, it's been I don't know, I'm not really into Halo stuff anymore, but I definitely played the Xbox One Halo games because I had Game Pass, and I never would have spent $60 on them, so it was kind of cool. But anyway, so the Game Pass app allows you to kind of like link all your stuff together and kind of like manage the games on your Xbox on the go. So like for instance, if you're sitting at work or whatever, and your buddies are like, "Oh, we should play Halo tonight," and you're like, "Oh shit, I don't have Halo on my Xbox." Well, you can just like load up the Game Pass app and be like, "Boop, boop, 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 boop," download Halo, and it might
You're
be
ready to go.
ready by the time you get home.
It might be.
Maybe. So that's kind of neat. I don't know. Like, I like the idea of this. Kind of wish that Game Pass had more interesting stuff on it, because like right now it seems like Microsoft first party stuff. Oh, so Gears of War, all the Gears of War games are on there and stuff. So Microsoft first party stuff plus like the $19.99 or less game rack at Walmart is the current library. And what's funny is that publishers like Tiny Build have games on there that, and I can't remember the name of off the top of my head because they were pretty non-noteworthy, but they were like objectively just like mobile games that are on Xbox. Like Infinite, there's this one, the one that I played was a Tiny Build game where you were like running and jumping on the tops of like these semi trucks that were going down a highway. And it was just like an endless runner and jumper kind of thing. And I was like, this is a mobile game that's on Game Pass. That's
I think
interesting.
that this is sort of just the formative years of this type of thing, which will eventually be pretty commonplace, because I'd much rather pay $10 a month, a la Netflix and Hulu, to just play whatever games. Because especially like games, I'm a big fan of digital, going all digital with stuff. So I have a lot of like, I have one physical Xbox One game and the rest are all digitally bought, usually for $60 or whatever. And it's like when you're done with them, you really want to. Rarely want to go back to them. At least I don't. I don't really, not big into multiplayer and stuff like that too.
Well,
So
you get,
a
I
lot
mean,
of
you can
times
always
I
trade
look
them
at it
in,
like,
right? But you get like ripped off so hard that it's like,
can you trade in the digital games
oh,
too?
no, I'm saying physical versions.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like I almost would rather buy physical games in that instance because at least you can trade them in
Oh, yeah.
or sell them on eBay or whatever. But so now I have like a pretty healthy library of digital games that I've bought and haven't played hardly any of them. And so I like the idea of the Game Pass, though. I think it should be the way things are going forward.
Well, it seems like stuff's like moving in this direction because so Origin has their which is like EA's PC Steam iteration has their, I think they call it like Origin Access. I want to say GOG has their own. I know Discord just launched like a $10 a month Discord Nitro thing that gets you access to a bunch of games, and there's Game Pass and a few other ones that I'm sure I'm forgetting. But it kind of the problem is it kind of gets back to how when Netflix and stuff started to come out, like everyone was like, oh, hell yeah, dude, I can get rid of cable. Like, this is such a savings to just have Netflix and stuff. And then, like, everything sort of splintered off. And now it's like, all right, well, if you want everything on streaming, you're going to need at minimum, like, Xbox, or I'm sorry, Netflix, Hulu, HBO,
Amazon.
Yeah, you probably already have an Amazon Prime subscription, and then like maybe one of the other
It all kind of is a
networks,
wash,
like
yeah.
Showtime or whatever, depending on what else you like watching, at which point you're spending, $50+ a month just on the streaming services, which is what you were spending on cable to begin with.
Yeah, right.
So
Kind of true.
I'm concerned that these games streaming things are gonna kind of go the same way, and that like to get everything, you're gonna be spending as much money as if you would if you just like bought one game every month.
Right.
Which I would say is probably, unless you are just like really blasting through console games, like that's
Which
probably.
some people do, though. I mean, and so I feel like if you have that hungry appetite where I used to be like this, where it'd be like, man, I'm just bored. I'm going to go to the game store on my lunch hour and just buy something and end up with like two or three games. And then, I would play through them and beat them and be like ready for more. And so that's not my life anymore. But I'm sure a lot of people are like just hungry for stuff in between the like really, really big releases. And so I think this is a good thing for people like that want to go through and play some of these lesser games that maybe you wouldn't splurge and buy outright, but you can at least play through them, experience them, and move on.
Where I see a lot of the value in these eventually is going to be like the like weirdo indie titles that sell for anywhere between like
Yeah.
$10 to $30 or something like that, because a lot of those are kind of hard sells unless you like really know the developer of the game or they have good Metacritic ratings or whatever. But like in that sort of stratosphere of video games, there's a lot of really good shit.
Yeah.
I mean, like Stardew Valley falls inside of that, like that's a really, really, really good indie game that, could easily just slot into a subscription library of other similar games that, because I feel like the more experimental sort of, weirdo indie titles would fit really well in this, because there's no penalty to you like trying something out that's really weird and being like, oh, I don't really like this too much. Like, I'm not gonna try the next game. So I don't know. If you've got an Xbox, you probably already have Game Pass because Microsoft does like ruthlessly upsells it anytime you turn on your Xbox. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. If nothing else, you should try out the, demo period or whatever. Just like, be sure to set an alert on your phone or on your calendar to cancel it before it starts auto renewing, because I would be shocked if Microsoft allows you to just buy 1 month at a time with like a
Yeah,
hard cutoff,
probably not.
because that's like just
Right.
not how these things work. So, but yeah, check that out. It's, way better with the app now and everything else. That's pretty neat. So I posted about this on I think this was Monday morning. Found out about this thing that's actually been going on for a long time now, like over a year now, and I don't know, just kind of like never on my radar. It's this thing called Ready Games, which is spelled exactly how it sounds. And what this is basically a rotating, well, no, it doesn't rotate. They just continually add new games to this like single game app. So it's like, like KetchUp and Vudu and stuff, like are just constantly rapid fire releasing these like, quick little, reaction based action game or lightweight puzzle game or something like that. So the Ready Games app is like, I don't even know, like 100 of those or something ridiculous like that, all in one app. But what's interesting is that so they release a new game in the afternoons of Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the afternoon American time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so you download these individual games inside of the Ready Games app, and then you can play them as much as you want. But you eventually like click a button that's like, all right, I'm playing this for real now, as like this is my one competitive run of this game, like for the day. Or I'm not sure when the leaderboards reset. I think it's just like every new game gets its own. But so you get your one official run, and if you're in the top 20% of players, you get a share of a $1,000 prize pool with everyone else that's inside that 20%. Which, I don't know, it seems like a neat idea, I guess.
It is kind of neat. I actually saw this and was like, I'm usually instantly grossed out by like win real money game whatever
No,
things
so
because they
it.
all seem super scammy and whatever. But
Yeah.
this seems like kind of a neat idea. It reminds me of, I forget what the game was called, but several years ago there was a game that was its whole gimmick. I want to say it was like a Cannonball sort of game or something like that. But you had like a practice mode you could play as much as you want, but then you had one try at the real game or whatever to set your leaderboard score, and if you screwed that up, that was it. And I guess you could delete the game and try over or something like that. But that was like its whole gimmick was like you're one and done. And it seems like they're doing that, but like in a more interesting way with actual money and leaderboards and stuff.
Yeah, I just thought, I don't know. I thought it was really neat. And like, I'm sure we've been emailed about this before, but like I'm similar in that like is when someone opens an email with like win real money playing this game, I'm like, all right, this is probably going to be a scam or shitty or something else. But I guess what I like so much about this one is like the structure of how like there's just constantly new games coming out and you can like you're like really practicing and then doing like your one like, all right, this is for all the marbles run.
Right.
Seems pretty neat.
The pressure's on. It's kind of cool too that like I always liked about HQ Trivia, it's like, okay, you do so-so every time you play, and maybe once in a while you do okay or whatever. But, like, your money sort of adds up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To where it's like, cool, I won, like, $10 now.
Yeah.
And so this seems like it'd be sort of the same thing. Like, there's only a $1,000 prize pool, you know, every time they release a game or whatever. But, you know, if you get up in that and it's split and you win a couple of bucks, it can kind of add up and be neat. I don't know.
Yeah, so from what I was able to tell from, like, doing some research in the community of this game and stuff like that, it seems like if you're in the top 20%, you'll typically win anywhere between like $2, $2.50, which is obviously going to slide down as more people start playing.
Right.
But maybe they would increase the prize pool at the same time.
If that's kind of what HQ did too, though. Yeah, it's like the more people start playing, they'd be like, all right, here's a $25,000 game or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just, you know, you're not going to, I mentioned in the article, it's not you're going to quit your job because you're so good at, you know, ready games, but
maybe you are though.
Yeah. I guess it depends where in the world you live. Like, I don't know. That would be crazy to think if you lived in like some like you know developing country or whatever, where getting like you know
two American dollars,
$6 a week is like damn, like I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
But I don't know. I guess if you're good at you know the sort of you know micro games that have sort of taken over the App Store, because like all of them are you know. Real simple, similar, like, you know, reaction based kind of stuff. So if you're good at those kind of things, like you should conceivably be able to clean up on this pretty easily.
Do you remember Zynkus, our old
lottery? Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking of when I wrote this. And
he was the world leader of the original Trism for forever.
Yeah.
And he was just awesome at these games. Or Andy C83 is another guy that's like constantly being super good at games. And man, those guys could probably mop up.
I wonder what Zynkus is up to these days. He was like the original Touch Arcade community forum member, and then he probably
got a job, got a life.
Yeah.
it happened.
So I don't know. I mean, like the other cool thing about this is the top 20% doesn't seem like one of those like unattainable goals. Like I think I burnt out on HQ Trivia because it was like I'm just never gonna win. You know, like I've been on like, to me, we were like serious, like heaters where I was like, oh shit, like I am doing so good. This is unbelievable. And like, you know, still get out before I get anywhere near getting money. Whereas like top 20%, like that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's not like that crazy of a benchmark. It's not like you need to be like, you know, in the top 10, like overall, you know, like. So
we could also just get super lucky and have a crazy good game, and then that ends up being your official score, and you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
It's worth trying.
If this sounds interesting, check out Ready Games. If you win some cash, good on you. Yeah. So let's see. What do you have next? So SMG Studio, really cool guys out of Australia, finally have revealed Fast and Furious Takedown. With pre-registrations going live and stuff like that. I feel like they've been like this game has been a like open secret for like the longest time.
A couple of years.
Longest time. Yeah. So they had so their game Thumb Drift is really good, and if you've never played it, you should probably just download that right now.
Yeah.
It's really good, kind of like portrait mode sort of racing game that has single finger controls, and that like maybe like your thumb like controls like where the back of the car is pointed, right? Like it's something
kind of hard to explain, but it feels just like right. Like you start playing and you almost instantly know how to play, and has like really over the top sort of drifting, sort of like a crazy Ridge Racer game or something like that. Super fun game.
Yeah, So really good. Original Thumb Drift, it had a lot of fun with them. Sure, we included it in our various best of lists and things like that. And I mean, I guess Fast and Furious is an IP that makes the most sense to combine with that.
Sure.
I don't know.
They're getting ready to release like four more of those movies or something.
Are they really? I was going to say
they've signed on to do like four more.
Wow. That's wild. Like when I read this story, I was like, that's cool. But I mean, like, I feel like Fast and Furious is over and done for, and I don't know who cares about it anymore, but.
Oh, they just released a new movie like last year or something.
Paul Walker's dead.
Yeah. They moved on with The Rock and, I don't know, someone else. Vin Diesel's still in it, I think.
Lindsay had one that was on, I don't know, it must have been on like Netflix or HBO or one of the streaming services we have. She had it on, and I was like, what the fuck are you watching? There was like, it was like, if you had told me it was like Mission Impossible or something like that, I would have been like, oh, yeah. Okay, like they're doing all sorts of spy stuff.
So Fast and Furious has been around for like 20 years or 15 years or something like that. And so I always just looked at it as like stupid, like I don't care about that stuff. And so never really was interested in the movies or whatever. And I kept being like, why do they keep making new movies in this series? Like who is going to see these or whatever? And I've come to find out that like there's a huge legion of fans that are like super into how like over the top and cheesy they are. And so that sort of like makes sense to me that like, you know, you'd like them for that sort of like cheesy fun value. And if you don't take it seriously, then maybe it's a cool movie series or whatever. So it's kind of prompted me to want to go and watch some of them.
Yeah, I don't understand how they go from like street racing. I don't even know it, like how you would encapsulate the plot of the first one. It's like street racing and that's about it, right? Wasn't there like some kind of like FBI thing going on or something? I don't remember.
That's I think part of the appeal is that like the storyline has gone in such crazy directions that it's like whatever, like just grab your popcorn and watch.
What does that appeal to though? I just want to watch a movie where nothing makes sense and there's explosions.
Yeah, appeals to a lot of people actually.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just far from the only movie series that does that.
Yeah. So there's the Stardew Valley update is finally available now. I think we talked about this either last week or the week before, and that like they basically are adding like every control option under the sun. And I think this one even got MFI support too, right?
Yeah.
So if you so our review of Stardew Valley was basically the cliff notes are this is a very 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 good game. That everyone should play. And but the caveat is you just kind of need to be able to deal with the sort of less than ideal control scheme.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I thought that was just going to be sort of like a one and done kind of thing for this port, because a lot of times when, studios have these big games, they just like contract them out to a company that ports them. And then, like the first release is just kind of like is what it is, and there's never any updates or anything beyond that, which is absolutely not the case with Stardew Valley. Like the dudes that are handling the port are like Johnny on the spot with like implementing feedback and adding all sorts of stuff that you know people wanted and things like that. I think the more noteworthy thing for this is like the new autosave functionality. Yeah. So what was happening a lot with me was that so in Stardew Valley, the cadence of the game is basically like you wake up at your farm and then you have all day in game time to do things like water your crops, harvest them, go to the town, sell stuff, go down to the mines and fight some shit and all this stuff. So like a day, what are the days are like 20 minutes long or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Like
they're not crazy long, but they're way longer than like a mobile play session would be, right?
Yeah.
So like what was happening to me was I would, you know, be fiddling around my farm, like get some stuff, like be walking into town to sell stuff and then like, you know, get a push notification for something else and check that out, and then you know, like go into another app or whatever, and by doing all that, like Stardew Valley would effectively get moved to the background instead of being an application that's currently running on my phone.
Right.
And it would go back to the last save you had, which was like when your dude was waking up that day.
Yeah.
So it was
It's never like enough progress to be like, oh, I quit this game, but it was enough to be like, that's mildly annoying.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like that was kind of my thing with it. It wasn't like, it was never enough for, I was like, man, fuck this.
Yeah.
But it was always like, oh, god damn it. Like, all right, yeah. I guess I'll rewater all these things again and all this stuff, which just like, I don't know, that seems like an odd omission to have not had in the first place, like that kind of like multitasking autosave support stuff. But I don't know, I guess if you were waiting for any reason to buy Stardew Valley on your phone, like any complaints that I can even think of have been fixed.
This update was actually a little bit messy when it released with some weird bugs and stuff, but they've already released a couple more fixing things up, and I haven't messed with it too much yet, but I think everything's pretty sound now.
Yeah, a really, really, really good game. It doesn't seem like they're talking about the multiplayer stuff that was added to the Switch and PC and console versions, but honestly, like with the way that this game has gone, like it would not surprise me in the slightest if they announced like, oh, it's coming in a couple weeks or something like that, you know. But I don't know. Don't buy it though if you're buying it specifically because you're waiting for the multiplayer stuff, because who knows if that'll come or not. But it's really good right now, so definitely check it out. So add Subdivision Infinity to the list of good older games that now has iPhone 10 support.
Yeah.
There's another Crescent Moon title that is coming down the pipeline. So.
Yeah, I think it's even on sale right now. But yeah, this game's super fun. It's just, I'm not a big space shooter fan, but this one, for whatever reason, I feel like is fun. And the graphics in it are just bananas.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like a good show off your new iPhone game, which I think we included it in one of those lists we do.
Yeah. So it's basically, just like kind of like a space shooter sort of action game, kind of like the PC game Freelancer in a way, but not quite as in depth, which is probably a good thing because it's mobile.
It's really more about just like space shooting and combat and stuff like that. And there's storyline stuff, and there's some side missions with like a mining mechanic, and you can mine stuff, but by and large, it's just like a action shooter sort of game.
Yeah. I love looking at these, like the related videos at the end of trailers now.
I don't know where.
The one it wants me to watch next from the Subdivision Infinity trailer is Hello Granny, a Hello Neighbor Granny's House mod mini game with 1.5 million views.
That's the world we live in.
The thumbnail is a man screaming at a baby with headphones on.
Yep.
Strap in for that. So oddly enough, Brawl Stars is hitting the App Store next month. If you weren't around for Brawl Stars last year, it was I don't even know where you start on this. It was like just a Supercell game that just soft launched one day.
Mm-hmm.
I think like in Canada, or I don't even remember which regions it was in, but so we were like, all right, well, this is it. Like, this is the next Clash of Clans. Like, you know, all hands on deck to write fucking guides and all sorts of other dumb shit for Brawl Stars, because this is all anyone cares about.
Yeah.
And which was true for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone was like, all right, so is it going to release or just stay soft launched forever? And it seemed like interest really dwindled after, like, as soon as it entered that weird limbo of, all right, so is this coming out or
we opened like a Discord chat for it, and we opened a bunch of like voice chats where people could play together and voice chat through our Discord and stuff like that, and those were all like super popular for a few months. And in terms of like soft launch games, I've never seen anyone go out of their way to like figure out how to get a soft launch game in a different country more than I've seen people try to get in on Brawl Stars.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so I feel like they really missed a lot of momentum, because you're right, it has totally dwindled since then, as everyone's been like, well, what's going on with this thing? Is it ever going to release or not? Because this was like a year and a half ago.
Well, so a couple things happened too. They changed the controls around a couple different times, and like that seemed like it made a lot of people really mad. But more than anything else, I think people just assumed that the game was getting canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So
right before this announcement, it was funny, they deleted all their social media and their Facebook page, like everything.
Oh, really?
And so everyone was like, oh shit, this game's totally getting canceled. Why else would you just delete all that stuff? And then it was just because they were going to, like, I guess, wanted a clean slate because they were announcing the global launch. Or they just wanted to swerve everyone, but
I guess. But I don't know. I thought it was pretty reasonable for people to assume, like, all right, well, I mean, because you saw this happen with a lot of YouTubers and stuff. They just kind of, like, stopped making videos for it and shit because, like, it seemed very reasonable to think that, like, all right, well, the soft launch just didn't go well, and they're just going to cancel the game, and that'll be it. Instead, it's coming out globally, so...
Well, now I'm really interested to see how it does globally, because are people still going to care or whatever? And there's been a few games that have come during this soft launch that have been, like, Brawl Stars-like experiences that are global, you know what I mean? So did they wait too long and let other people try to steal their thunder, or is anyone still going to remember this and care, or what?
I mean, I don't know. All they have to do is just run ads inside of like Clash Royale and Clash of Clans, and Brawl Stars will have an instant community. So I'm not,
which is probably what will happen.
Yeah, I'm not super worried about that. I don't. It's just very strange soft launch. Curious to see if this game is as big of a hit as Clash Royale and others, because I feel like it's being a real-time multiplayer game is way more complicated than their other games. I think the best way to describe it is like the extreme distillation of a MOBA on mobile, like just as much MOBA as you get away with the most basic control scheme imaginable. But the problem with that is like you still need to kind of like understand MOBA sort of stuff, like how to work as a team and like how to not overextend and everything else. And because it's a team-based game, if you have one player that's kind of like shitty or fucking off or not doing what they're supposed to be doing,
that's like, now a third of your team,
right? And that sort of really ruins the game for you know, everyone else. So I don't know, but
we'll see. I'll try it when it goes global.
No, for sure. I kind of so is it still up for soft launch, or did they take the soft launch?
I don't even think that it's available anymore. Yeah, okay.
I'm very curious, like how different it is. Like if we can just rerun all our original Brawl Stars content, that would be the most ideal.
I'm sure it's pretty different.
Yeah, so we'll see. Another big game news, Disney and Jam City have linked up to do multi-year deal with your different Disney games, the first one being Disney Emoji Blitz, which as far as I can tell is like a match three sort of puzzle game where you're matching like Disney emoji.
I want to say that this game's been out, hasn't it?
Is it? Well, there's a million of these games that look identical to this.
I know. Maybe Jam City just made this, and now I think this is just a partnership to make even more games. Which, great.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like Jam City's shtick, though, is like making these like very, very, very mass market kind of games, and Disney Emoji is one of them, and I'm sure they'll lean real hard on Disney other stuff to, I don't know. Just kind of interesting that it wasn't more than a few years ago where like Disney seemed like they were at the top of the world with like video game stuff, right? Between the various studios they had that were making like actual like, you know, hardcore AAA gamer games, Disney Infinity and everything else. And now
they did a pretty major reboot, and they booted all their internal studios. And then now are exclusively working with third parties, so it's kind of not surprising to see things like this crop up.
I guess so, but it's like it's just so lame to think of. Like, did you ever play the racing game Split Second on Xbox or whatever?
I remember,
but it was really cool. Like, so this game was like, if you combine the basic idea of just you know, like an arcade racing game with like the most extreme movie set kind of like explosions and special effects and stuff, and
so Fast and Furious.
Well, what was neat is that the track, like, so if you were racing around a track and it was like three laps, like more of the track would like explode with each lap, and that in turn would open different like shortcut kind of paths you could take.
That sounds rad, actually.
So like maybe, and I'm trying to think of like the, I don't know. I don't remember if I owned the game or just played the shit out of the demo level or whatever. But like the one that I remember was you were racing around this like airplane like a airport sort of thing, and like the control tower by the third lap would like explode and fall over, and you can like race inside of it and like go off this crazy
So
jump,
cool.
which would like split, like skip this big turn or whatever. That was cool. Yeah, they made really good stuff, and then now we have emoji games and yeah, so.
Well, whatever. I'm sure they'll all do amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure. So we finally have some additional details on Harry Potter Wizards Unite. And when I say additional details, I mean about two paragraphs worth of text and a very vague teaser trailer. So from what we've been able to ascertain from what they've released so far, this is going to be very similar to Pokemon Go, except instead of being a Pokemon trainer, you are a member of the Statute of Secrecy Task Force, which I guess is a partnership between the Ministry of Magic and the International Confederation of Wizards in the Harry Potter universe. And you know, while the site doesn't say this explicitly, it sounds like you're going to be doing like the real world sort of stuff, specifically looking for what they call magical disorders, and then dealing with them, presumably using, you know, a collection of spells or magic wands or whatever the hell it is you're going to be collecting in this game. So I don't know.
So Pokemon Go with Harry Potter.
Yeah, basically exactly what we initially said it was going to be when the first time we covered this, I don't know, a couple of years ago.
Well, that should do really well.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Like, it's hard to, if you had to think of like an IP that was going to do as well as Pokemon Go, it would be Harry Potter.
Yeah,
I would say Harry Potter would be better than Star Wars, as far as like a big IP like that is concerned.
Possibly.
Maybe.
That's a toss up.
Yeah, I don't know. But yes, it's coming 2019. We'll see how it goes. But the Fantastic Beasts series, though, it seems like the Harry Potter world is not slowing down anytime soon. So that's cool. So Five Alarm freebie alert, Jared posted a couple days ago, for all the Radiant Games titles are currently free to coincide with the release of Slydris 2.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. A lot of these games have never been free before, and even the ones that have, it's been 2 or 3 years. So
yeah,
if you didn't know about some of these games, like just go download all of them. There's like 10 freebies right now, and they're all awesome, either puzzle games or dual stick shooters.
Yeah, so just search the App Store for Radiant Games. That's RadiantGames, one word. So the games on sale is like the whole library, which is Crush, Devastator, Fireball SE, Fluid SE, Inferno Plus, Inferno 2, Joy Joy, Sideswipe, Slydris, and Super Crossfighter. And a lot of those are like actually pretty old school iOS games. So
yeah,
definitely don't sleep on that. And they should be free until Sunday. So
yeah,
if you're listening to this before then, download them. If not, they're still worth checking out.
Yeah, I think their normal prices are like $2, so
yeah, something like that. So one interesting thing that we've seen recently with the, like the release of that Cube Escape Paradox adventure kind of mystery game is a short film that accompanies that. Now, Beholder is getting its own short film, which is sort of an interesting trend. What do you think is causing this, like, whole indie game plus short film live
action
thing?
This is the same people that did the Papers, Please movie last year, and I just feel like the subject matter lent itself really well. Like, when a game takes on sort of a heavy subject matter, like, you know, the border checking and stuff like that, it kind of lends itself well to telling a story with a film as well, because you know, there's more going on than just the gameplay. And so Beholder is actually a similar sort of dystopian type game, but you actually play this landlord and you're managing like an apartment building, and the government basically forces you to like spy on your own tenants and plant, you know, secret cameras and see what they're doing, and then if they're doing anything illegal, you know, report them to the government, get them hauled away. But the tricky part is that a lot of the times people are doing things that are technically against the law, but they're doing them out of their own, you know, survival right. or whatever. And so you get these sort of like messed up moral choices where it's like, well, you know, this dude did something illegal, but he's doing it to save his family or his sick son's life or, you know, something crazy like that. And it's so, do you rat on him or do you not? And so it's a really like gray area sort of game like that. And it's really good. And so that the mood and sort of atmosphere of the game itself is really dark. And I think it translates well to this film, which is actually going to be entirely in black and white and silent. So there's not going to be any spoken dialogue. It's all going to be told, you know, like they used to with the silent films, with just sound effects and stuff. And so, yeah, the good old days. So I feel like that'll translate really well to a little movie. And that should launch in December around the time the sequel is launching. So I think that'll be cool. But it's interesting that the Papers, Please people wanted to do another movie about another super like messed up government sort of, you know, game.
Yeah, I need to play Beholder more. Like I played it.
It's tight.
I got into it a little bit when it came out and like, I don't know, yeah. It just must have been one of those weeks where it was like a million games. Cause I really liked it, but just
yeah.
didn't. You know, get too far in it and eventually, you know, fell off my iPad.
Yeah.
So, totally. Let's see here. So, Kenny Sun, who is the developer of the Yonkai's game, so Yonkai's Peak, Yonkai's Triangle, mm-hmm. some other stuff before that, Circa Infinity, I really like. He has got a new game called Twinfold, which you describe as being like threes meets a roguelike dungeon crawler.
Yeah,
it's coming December 5th. The trailer for this looks pretty cool. I really dig these like super minimal kind of puzzle games.
Yeah, if you watch the trailer, you can see it's weird because the levels are sort of like these single screen kind of things. It's not like a huge dungeon crawler, but I feel like it has that same sort of essence where and then you're sliding the characters around the screen in a similar way as threes. And so I'm sort of just curious to see how it all fits together, what you're combining, you know, the different enemies and stuff for or whatever.
Yeah, it looks like you, like, swipe the enemies to get them, like, to fall down the hole, which is how you kill them, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really intriguing to me, whatever is going on in this. But I feel like just roguelike dungeon crawler mixed with threes is just a really neat idea on paper. Yeah. So I sort of trust Kenny Sun to bring it to life in a good way.
Yeah, and there's been quite a few of these kind of like sort of single screen per level roguelike kind of puzzle things. And they typically always ranging from really good to pretty decent. So, you know, that seems like a pretty good subject matter to riff on, you know, if nothing else. So kind of interesting news story that came out today, I guess. Rovio is working on a dozen new mobile games now.
Didn't they announce they were working on like a million games like 4 years ago? And then
I don't know. Like that's the thing is like they. It seems like Rovio is regularly oscillating between like, all right, we're tripling down on Angry Birds. Like Angry Birds is the only thing that matters to us, and we're gonna advertise shit on Angry Birds 2 and all the other Angry Birds, and you know do a movie sequel, and then. Mm-hmm. Like the next week it's like, all right, yeah, we're working on all sorts of new stuff. Like, so I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that Angry Birds inevitably will run out of gas eventually, right?
You would think so, but I don't know.
I mean, that like 20 years from now, are people still going to be playing Angry Birds 2 and spending money in it?
Maybe.
I don't know. They need to find their next golden goose, I think.
Yeah, if there is one.
Yeah, I don't know if there is or not. So, this just came out of like this, like I think it was either an interview or a presentation they gave or something like that. But interesting to hear that they've got a dozen projects in the works now. But I wonder if the way they could work is like maybe they're just always making games and like stealth releasing them or you know, soft launching them under like a different account or something like that to kind of like see how they do.
Mm-hmm.
And like just
which they have done
do well.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think there's a problem of saturation with them where they're just not spending enough. They could learn a thing from King, I think, where it's like, find one really good concept and polish the shit out of it before you release it. It more seems like they're kind of throwing everything against the wall because there's the Angry Birds Kart Racer and the Angry Birds, you know, everything you can think of.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, who knows? Hopefully it's not more Angry Birds games, whatever it is they're working on. Cause Jesus. So Yakuza Online is a Sega game that a lot of people are excited for that I couldn't even tell you why you should be excited for, but it's coming to iOS and Android. Got a release date that was announced for November 21st, so next week.
That's cool.
Are you into the Yakuza stuff at all?
No.
I don't know.
Seem like cool games on console, but I don't know what the online or the mobile thing is all about.
Yeah, I mean, either. It's like they seem like on console, like these really like in-depth sort of action RPG sort of things, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I sort of thought they were like GTAs.
I never gotten into this because there's like a million Yakuza games, right?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, well, I don't want to jump into, you know, Yakuza 27.
Yeah. I don't think it matters, but I think since they started bringing them out in the West, I think it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things that seems cool from afar, but never had the time to delve into myself.
Yeah, well, I guess this is a pretty heavy sort of gacha game, so...
I mean, I could see this being like, you know, Mob Wars, but with Yakuza branding, whatever.
Man, you know what I want them to bring back is Epic Pet Wars. Remember that game?
Yeah.
That game was so much fun. And then the last story I have to talk about is Cerulean 3. Got a big update, I think today, right?
Today or yesterday. Yeah, this game is just so big already. So, and it just came out last month. So already getting such a meaty content update is sort of like, holy crap, dude, I haven't even done everything. I mean, you can't do everything there is to do in the game in hundreds of hours anyway. But, you know, I still have a lot of just basic stuff to play through, and now there's already even more things, which is never a bad thing. So this game, kind of like a Pokemon game in that there's a lot of monster collecting and leveling and unlocking and all that sort of stuff. And so, but it's also kind of like very heavy RPG, dungeon crawler sort of thing. It's really just a mishmash of a lot of different types of RPG games. And like I said in the article, the first two I always really appreciated as just being these really big and like robust sort of games, but also very like niche for only a certain type of person. And they're very difficult to kind of get into. And for whatever reason, this third one is super clicked with me to where I sort of get it now. And
so did you play Cerulean 1 or 2?
I dabbled in both of them, yeah, but I never got super far in them, mostly because they just seemed kind of like a hard nut to crack. And I don't know if this one's just has an easier progression or a better tutorial or what, but this one I sort of, it's still pretty overwhelming, but I at least sort of get the basics and am having a lot of fun with it. So
yeah, it seems like there's an absurd amount of depth to this game.
It's absurd, yeah. So now there's more because there was a free update. So I don't think this dude's going to stop releasing updates for it either.
Yeah.
I think there's even more to come. So I think it's $5 or $6, something like that. I think it's some of the best money you can spend if you like RPG games and you want something that you can just dump hundreds of hours into easily.
Yeah. So Cerulean 3, check it out. It's spelled S-I-R-A-L-I-M, the number 3, space 3.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. Yeah. Like Jared was saying, $5. It's crazy that how much content you get for that. So as far as games to talk about this week, I wanted to just touch on one that we didn't talk about last week. And that's Alphaput, because this game is really freaking cool. Although I guess it's not going to load on my iPad. Oh, and there we go. So this is, I feel like for whatever reason, we've seen like just an absolute onslaught of really cool mini golf games.
Yeah.
Recently. So, the way that Alphaput works is you're basically just playing mini golf, but on different alphabetical kind of courses, I guess.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that the courses themselves all have like a ton of shit going on.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, and that can be like a course that has a like skateboarding on a ramp. Mm-hmm. Another one, like the one that I'm fiddling around with right now, is like cars racing around this highway.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that when you can actually use these different kind of objects that are in the game world to hit your ball around. So like
Yeah.
the one that I'm on right now with the cars, like originally I putted my ball and like the cars got it what seemed like it was going in the right way to kind of get
Yeah,
it
I'm
in the
not sure what
hole.
happened. They totally boned you in the end. They moved it all the way back to the beginning
Yeah,
point.
and then the cars just kind of like sent me flying all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a lot of stuff like that. It's a mini golf game with crazy environments where you actually have to like utilize the environments,
Yeah.
which just seems, I don't know, it seems like a really novel, cool concept. And it's got four player, I think local multiplayer. I don't know if it has online multiplayer or not, but really fun. Like, because it's just the crazy situations you get into where you'll be like perfectly positioned to take a hole and then like just get
Yeah.
robbed because like
That's what I
whatever.
was going to say is like you have to be okay with an element of crazy randomness.
Like so now I'm on a level where I need to get to the opposite side of an H and there's skateboards I need to deal with that are kind of like just going wild all over the place. So there's, and it seems like you never really have you can never really hit the ball hard enough to not interact with like whatever's taking place in the
Yeah.
game world,
Yeah.
which is another sort of interesting thing. So it's like you almost have to use whatever obstacles are taking place like as part of the way that you get to the next
Yeah.
part. Or I
Yeah.
guess like what I'm doing right now is just being like very, very careful
Trying to avoid them,
and
yeah.
avoid them. But I don't know, really, really, really cool golf game. Amongst an app store that recently seems to be absolutely loaded with really cool mini golf games.
It's a really neat concept, though, too, that you're spelling out each course is a letter, is shaped like a letter, and then you're spelling out words. So you sort of get a random cluster of the different courses depending on whatever word you're trying to spell, which in this case you're spelling chug, which is appropriate for the beer cast.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, I don't know. Not a whole else a lot to say about this other than it being like another really awesome mini golf game that will either you'll either have a ton of fun with it or you will be very frustrated with how crazy
Yeah.
some of the levels are.
The randomness screwing you over. See, I
Yeah.
enjoy stuff like that. I'm always like, haha, like,
It's
yeah, I
like
got screwed.
RNG the golf game. Well, the other
Yeah.
thing that's kind of interesting about it is that sometimes you will be like hitting the ball really quickly over and over because like the different obstacles in the game world like just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't wait for you.
So like right now like I'm trying to get through this like path of UFOs and where it keeps resetting my ball is getting sucked up by the UFO again.
Yeah.
And so I just need to
You
like hit it as quick as I can to just get out of there.
it. Plus eight.
So yeah, and then so each letter is kind of like themed off of, or the obstacles of the letter is themed off of like the, word. So like I'm on G now, which is a graveyard, and there's like all sorts of spooky ghosts you need to avoid. I don't know.
Ghost ball.
This is just like a really cool.
I think it's paid too. It's like, isn't it? A
I think so.
few bucks and
Yeah, no
free to play account.
shenanigans.
Yeah, that's always nice.
So yeah. I don't know, and then like so, I did my four letters. Par was 11. I got 29,
Right.
and then you can just do like a new word, and you just be on a pick whatever you want. And let's do like Keats here. This one has a so the Q has a like drawbridge and all sorts of other stuff. There's like a crown that I can pick up. I don't know what this does yet. I haven't played the Q
Got a
one yet.
catapult. Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, this
Yeah,
is
this game's really neat.
super cool. Highly recommended. And that's Alpha Putt, which is spelled exactly how it sounds. Which of these do you want to talk about next that I've got on my.
I really like Black Paradox.
All right, let's go wild on this.
So this is
So we've talked about this a couple times before on the podcast, I think, as they've been like
Yeah.
teasing different trailers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is super, super like 80s themed horizontal shooter that has a lot in common, and you're seeing a lot of people that are playing this compared to Steridan, which is a super fun game, one of my favorites actually, that's also available on like Switch and PC and consoles and stuff. But the whole thing is it's like a roguelike shoot 'em up. So each individual level you're playing is just randomly generated in terms of like the enemy waves that are coming at you and the different weapon pickups you'll get and things like that. But it has a structure in that you'll face the same, there's like 8 bosses or 10 bosses, something like that. So like at the end of the level, you'll face a certain boss and you'll face those in the same order every time. And there actually is like a story to, or a campaign or whatever to complete. So if you beat everything in a row and beat all the bosses and stuff, you can actually beat this game. But it is randomly generated as you play. And has a super heavy 80s sort of theme. Lots of pop culture references and stuff. And your actual ship is basically a DeLorean without being a legally, you know, getting you in trouble DeLorean.
How am I
and
in then, space in a DeLorean with the doors open? That's what I want to know.
Because, dude, it's Black Paradox. And facts don't matter. So it's a really fun shoot 'em up though. Like the different weapons are really cool. Like that was the strong point of Steridan is the different weapons you would get and kind of how you'd use them in each level. And so this has a lot of that same sort of flavor. And it's also a pretty challenging game, much as Steridan is too. But I just really love the theme. I like all the 80s crazy neon sort of stuff going on. And then the music is totally like, you know, if like, you know, Stranger Things sort of electronic stuff does it for you, then you'll like the soundtrack here a lot. Sort of like Stranger Things meets the band Justice. I would describe it as that. Nice. But yeah, super fun game. And because it's a roguelike, you know, it's kind of one of those games that's meant to be played and beaten and then replayed and whatever. And there's a lot of different things you can do in terms of customization and upgrading your ship. And then every time you beat a level, you can pick like from a couple of different power-ups that will last, you know, through this playthrough only or whatever. So it's definitely got a lot of roguelike flair without being full-blown. But yeah, just a super fun shoot 'em up. I really like it a lot. It's probably a toss-up. I think it's different enough from Steridan that you can keep them both and enjoy both on their own merits. But it's also that the structure and kind of the premise is really similar, just in terms of it being like a roguelike shoot 'em up. So yeah, I couldn't probably pick a favorite between the two. But I mean, I'm really liking this so far.
The weapons seem really cool in this. I've never seen like
such... Yeah.
Picked up one that was like a acid like damage over time,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a flamethrower too though. That's like super fun. Yeah, it's a really hard game, yeah, really fun. Totally paid, I think. And so it's another paid game this week.
So what are the bosses like in this? Assuming you're able to survive long enough to get to one.
In general, like what you would expect, like a big ship has a different specific attack pattern. That sort of thing. And then the bosses, I mean, there's a lot of storyline stuff going on too in this whole little universe. And so each of the bosses are also these specific characters that are kind of like a wacky cast of misfits. But yeah, the boss fights are kind of what you'd expect from a game like this. You got to kind of figure out their pattern and then figure out the best way to attack them or whatever. Hmm. But super cool game, really fun. Oh, and something you can't see in our video or hear me talking about is the haptic feedback is awesome in this game. Like they really, really used it to good effect to where there's always some sort of little buzz happening for the different things that happen in the game. And I feel like it actually adds a lot to the experience when you can feel the buzzing of certain things. And so it's always nice to see people actually take haptic feedback seriously.
Oh, this is kind of like, so the acid attack that I have, like it actually spreads to other...
Oh damn!
Other guys. So like when one of these blows up and another ship goes through that acid cloud, they also get
that is rad.
The acid on them. That's neat. I've never seen that.
Yeah, this has some really inventive weapons, much as Steridan does too. So if you play this game and like it and don't know Steridan, you should get that too, and vice versa.
Yeah, now that you know how to use this weapon, this is really cool. All right, I'm doing good now.
Oh, you're at the boss.
So the first boss is the Insane Brothers.
The Insane Brothers. And so this dude will try and ram you, and he'll spray that bullets at you. He'll send these little buzzsaw guys after you. Ah!
I wonder.
You can also take a good amount of damage in these games, too, which sometimes it's nice to not play a game where you die instantly.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. So yeah, the other thing you can do is double tap the left side of the screen to like summon your. Oh shit, I
You
died.
summon your black paradox when your gauge is full or whatever, and that's basically like a dark version of your own ship that'll fight alongside you as a
Yeah.
little buddy.
Yes, this is really cool. So we got time for like one more. You want to talk about which one?
You pick, because I'm dying over here.
I can talk about Sega Heroes as the
Okay.
ridiculous game of the week.
Yeah.
So this game, we got a review and a guide up on the site, you know, like you do with free-to-play games. And it's basically like I don't know, is it fair to call it like a Puzzle and Dragons meets like Sega IP?
But like dumbed down for idiots.
Super dumbed down. Yeah, so
Yeah.
to give you an idea like what kind of game this is, Sean posted a review of it, and like, you know, it's like a normal Sean Musgrave like 2,000 word review, and I would say like 1,800 of those words is like explaining how the in-game economy works.
It's really sad.
'Cause you know, you're like collecting all these different characters from different Sega games, and of course like endlessly upgrading those characters through various gacha mechanics and other stuff like that. And you know, once you finally have assembled your team, you use them to do these kind of like matching battles,
Yeah.
which I mean, like that part's actually like this is a the whole like matching battle RPG thing. I've always thought as a cool mechanic, but like I don't know how it's like got co-opted so hard into like ultra gacha.
Yeah. Well, I think the tragedy of this game, so first of all, it has that free-to-play art style, which I'm not a super big fan of, where they kind of draw all these Sega characters, but in like the same sort of like semi-comic book ish way. Like, I don't know how to explain it, with like the paper doll sort of limb movements and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I
like
feel like
all
it's a
like
very, every free-to-play game has like this sort of look and animation.
big
And
eyes, big heads.
yeah, and I don't love it, but I also at least do appreciate that they redrew all these characters and they have a cohesive look. So that's cool, but I mean, I would prefer it to be a different sort of art style. But that aside, I feel like you could deal with all the dumb crap in this game if the matching was any fun at all. The matching is so basic and the board is so small, there's almost no strategy or anything like that. And like games like Puzzles and Dragons do well because their actual game mechanics are relatively deep. And once you get past, you know, all the tutorial basic stuff, like it actually becomes this really involved game. And I feel like this game never will get to that point because it's just too basic. And so it's kind of a shame that
Yes,
you
it's
could.
a 6x8 grid is your matching.
Yeah, which it's just not big enough, I don't think, and not interesting enough. There's not enough like different mechanics to make anything really feel different as you go along. And so you're sort of like you're unlocking new people and you're upgrading new people. And even if you make peace with all the like dumb upgrade systems and free-to-play stuff in it, you're still stuck playing this really boring game that you have to grind over and over to even make any headway with your collecting and stuff. So I feel like even if they just changed it so the matching mechanics was more interesting, that this would be a pretty good game. But I feel like as it is now, and you know, you could deal with all the other crap that's going on with it that happens in every free-to-play game. But as it is now, it's like hard to even recommend it because even the matching itself is just bad.
Yeah, I don't. So it seems like a lost opportunity. But
Well, you
then
know, that we've all played free-to-play games where it's like, okay, I can see this is going to be like a year-long grind, and I can kind of like tell where this is going to go. But I like the gameplay, and so I don't really mind grinding it. I mean, I played like the Injustice games for years, and you know, those eventually got old, but I got a couple years of playtime out of each one. And you know, so it's like if the gameplay is fun and engaging, I don't really mind the grind because it's a fun thing to do to pass the time, which is a good way to play a mobile game. But when the gameplay is just not fun, it becomes like a bore, even when it's something you're doing to just grind the time away. And so that I feel like is the missed opportunity of this game.
yeah, I think like the what is sad about it in a way is that like they combine all these different like Sega IPs, but there's not really like a cohesive story or anything as to like why it's happening. And I
Yeah.
think that could be like, I don't know, like I Remember that game that came out a few years ago where it was like it's like a G.I. Joe kind of battler, but it like took place on like a bedroom floor. And it was like and like the setting of the game was like yeah, all right, like all these superheroes that are fighting like don't really make a ton of sense, but like you're fighting over like a a pencil and a pair of dirty socks is like the battlefield on the bedroom floor, which like makes sense because you like when you were a kid and like had your different you had your G.I. Joe and your Thundercats and like all the other crap and you just
They
kind of
all
like
play together.
played with them all. And like I thought that was kind of like an interesting premise as opposed to like this game is very much like, I don't know, here's the good Sega guys are gonna fight the bad Sega guys. Give us your money.
Totally. That's pretty much it. No, I agree with you. There's a lot of opportunity to do things with these characters that everybody recognizes, but it doesn't seem like they've done anything.
So I don't know, it's it is what it is. I'm sure a game like this is gonna make a bazillion dollars and all these complaints won't make a damn of a difference and
Maybe, but also maybe not. I feel like popular free-to-play games, the players of those, the hardcore players especially, are a lot smarter than people give them credit for. And so I think that even if you love Sega and like free-to-play games, and you play this and you're bored out of your mind, it might not do well. So I don't know. It's hard
maybe.
to say.
I don't really know. I was kind of bummed out by like I don't know. I mean, like so Sega on the App Store, like on one hand it's like the Sega Forever stuff is really cool. But on the other it's like all right, like can you please make something that's good that isn't like just a port of an old game? So
The answer is no.
I guess Sega does what Nintendo don't in that aspect. So yeah, that's Sega Heroes. Download it or don't. It's a free country. You do what you do you.
Do you?
And with that, I don't know. Can we talk about Fallout 76 real quick? We'll divert away from iPhone games.
I'll glaze over while you do, but yes, go ahead.
Have you followed this at all? Like
No, it's
anything?
just like MMO Fallout, right?
Well, yes and no. It's like online multiplayer Fallout. So
Okay.
it's like imagine like Fallout 4, but on any given time in the game world, there's like a dozen other human players.
Oh, so is that the player pool is that small?
Yeah, it's like the way it's structured seems pretty cool in that like it seems like you'll run into a player like every now and again. But it's not like an MMO where it's just like there's fucking 100 people like crowding a quest giver and it's like, dude, get out of the way so I can turn in my rabbit skins or whatever. It's like when you run into another player, it's like, oh, cool, there's people over here. Like, let's go see what they're doing.
So they tried to create the actual vibe of like an apocalyptic world where it's like, hey, you run into someone once in a while and you also run into like scary beasts. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I really like it, and it's kind of getting panned in reviews a little bit because, and I think the reason for that is it's like too much of a departure from what people have come to expect of Fallout games, right? In that, like, you're expecting like a single player game with like a really in-depth universe and like loads of DLC, and because of Fallout DLC, basically since Fallout 3 has been, I would say, world class. I mean, like, some of the DLC campaigns in Fallout and the various Fallout games have been better than like the main storylines. And so, like, if that's what you were expecting out of Fallout 76, like, I can see being kind of pissed at this game. Kind of like if you were expecting like a Diablo 4 announcement at BlizzCon, and you get Diablo Immortal, it's like, all right, this is not what I wanted, and I'm mad now. But I don't know, dude, like, the multiplayer Fallout thing, like, I've been playing with friends. It's been just an amazing time just kind of diddling around and, doing missions and fighting mutants and collecting, junk in the wasteland and building bases. And I don't
I
know,
think
man.
all that the backlash, whatever there is of it, will subside because if the game's fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a cool game though. I think if you're on the fence and you have people that you would play with online, you will really enjoy it. If you don't like have people that you regularly play games with and stuff, and this is gonna be like something you play by yourself, like, I don't know if you're gonna have that much fun with it. But you might. I don't know. I guess it depends like how you feel with playing other people online. That being said, like I guess if I was the kind of person that like really likes single player experiences and this is like the next Fallout, like I could see being pretty bummed because that seems like it means Fallout 5 is very far away,
Yeah.
right? With the rate that
Maybe.
Bethesda moves. But I don't, yeah,
Yeah.
who knows? But I don't know. I really like it. I the only my only really complaint is I wish that there was like more purpose to the PvP, because it seems like there's very little reason to like get involved with fucking around with other people. When like in other games like this, like Sea of Thieves or whatever, like the some of the most fun is like just completely like the shenanigans that come up with like running across like other player ships and like sinking them and
Looting all their good
like
stuff.
looting their stuff, and like that just kind of doesn't really exist in Fallout 76. Like arguably like when you kill someone, it like does you more harm than good, so which whatever. But yeah. So that's going to be our podcast for the week. Thank you very much for listening. If you like the podcast, like the website, want to support us so we can keep doing what we're doing, two ways you can do that. First is checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade. Second way is checking out, or if you do any shopping through Amazon, we'd really appreciate it if you go to toucharcade.com/Amazon first and click through our affiliate links so we get affiliate credit for whatever goodies you're buying at Amazon. If you want to send us an email for any reason, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. Otherwise, I hope you have a good week, and we will catch you on the flip side on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.